Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you that we can come into your very presence because you have reached out to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of eternal life, and we thank you for your bountiful provisions. And this evening we want to thank you especially for the gift of the scriptures. We pray that you will help us to grow an appreciation or understanding of the inexhaustible wealth that we can find in it. That the Spirit of God may please to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 163rd message. The subtopic for today, hunger and thirst for God and truth, the second message, the scriptures. Hunger and thirst for God and truth, the second message, the scriptures. We have been considering the meaning and implications of the posture of God and truth, and practical outworking, and the last message I considered with you, hunger and thirst for God and truth. If we say that we have aligned our heart with a posture, then there ought to be an unceasing hunger and thirst for God and truth. We are always eager to deepen our knowledge of the Lord and the truth that He has revealed. There should continually be this seeking to know God and truth in increasing measure and responding positively accordingly. There should be diligence, receptivity, that is receptive to the truth and what God has to say. We will set our heart to understand and absorb what God desires to communicate to us and teach us in the scriptures. This is the area of truth I considered with you in the last message, and today's message is a continuation on this area of truth. For today, I want to concentrate on the scriptures. When we have hunger and thirst in our heart for God and truth, what ought to be our approach to the scriptures, and what ought to be the place and significance of the scriptures in our hearts and in our lives? This is a very important issue for all believers who love the Lord. I'll begin to consider with you the place and significance of the scriptures. Generally, believers do recognize and acknowledge the importance of the scriptures. It's helpful for us to be clear why is the scriptures so important to believers. The short answer is because the scriptures is inspired by God. We turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. We've referred to these two verses near the end of the last message. If we look at the context of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, Paul was writing about the last days and difficult times. And if we bear in mind that context, it can help us to appreciate even more the importance of the scriptures for us today. Chapter 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is inspired by God. It is not just some parts, but all, every part of the scriptures. And ultimately for us, we want to understand what the scriptures teaches, not just referring to a verse or a passage and what it appears to be telling us, but we want to understand what the scriptures teaches. And Paul emphasizes to us all scripture is inspired by God. Profitable, that means it is helpful for our lives. And clearly Paul is talking about this from a spiritual perspective, from the perspective of God's kingdom. It is really helpful for us, profitable, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We can say there's inexhaustible wealth in the scriptures, and it's meant to equip us for every good work. Verse 17 tells us, so that. So God has inspired the scriptures for us, so that. What is the purpose, the direction, the goal? That the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. As I mentioned just now, even more so as we consider the context of our times, the last days that we are living in, the difficult times, and all kinds of negative influences, including what the Lord Jesus warns us about, false Christ, false prophets. How can we be properly equipped to face the situations that we go through and be properly equipped for every good work? And to be adequate, to be the man and woman of God that God wants us to be. Hunger and thirst for God and truth includes, as we've noted in the previous message, a longing, a deep desire in our hearts, not only to know the Lord, to know the truth, but to continually deepen as well as widen our knowledge of God and the truth. And if this is our sincere longing, then we must pay much attention to the scriptures, because it is the primary source of clear, reliable revelation of who God is and what He desires to communicate to us. I want to highlight especially much attention. Not just acknowledge that we believe in the scriptures, it is important. We must pay much attention to the scriptures. Why? Because it is the primary source of clear, reliable revelation of who God is and what He desires to communicate to us. It's absolutely reliable if we interpret the scriptures accurately. If we truly receive what God desires to communicate to us in the scriptures, then we know it is absolutely reliable, because God is the one who has inspired the scriptures. But you may ask, what about God revealing Himself directly to us in our hearts and communicating the truth to us? Can God do that? Yes. And you may ask, is that not an important source of clear, reliable revelation of who God is and what He desires to say to us? The answer is yes, but we need to bear in mind that it is only through the scriptures that God reveals to us an inexhaustible wealth of potential knowledge of God, His attributes, character, and ways. I say potential because it is there. But it doesn't mean that because we have the scriptures, we have this knowledge. But it is inexhaustible. All the Christians who have ever lived, all the preachers who have ever preached, and all the truths that have been covered, that they have sought to derive from the scriptures, and yet we have not exhausted what is in the scriptures. In fact, there's a lot more that Christians have yet to derive and to see and to appreciate of all that God intends to communicate to us, and it is there in the scriptures. But not just God, His attributes, character, and ways, but also our understanding of man. Why are we here on this earth? Why did God create man? What are God's intentions for man? What is it in His heart? Or we can say, what has been in His heart all along, even before the foundation of the world? What has been in His heart in relation to the outworking and the fulfillment of His purposes? The plight of man and God's salvation plan for us in Christ in all its richness and fullness. Spiritual warfare. What God desires and requires of man. God's provision of Christ and who Christ is, what He has done and accomplished on our behalf at the cross, and the significance of the risen Christ in our lives today? The Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures. The role of the church and how church life ought to work out. The kingdom of God. As well as many moral and spiritual principles that are important for us to know so that we can fare well in this fallen world and bear fruit in every good work. God does not reveal all these various areas of truth to us directly or in any other way but through the Scriptures. Moreover, whatever we think God is revealing to us, and He can speak to our hearts directly, and what we think He is saying to us in our hearts, all these need to be examined in the light of what the Scriptures teach us to help us ascertain and confirm its authenticity, that is, that God has indeed spoken to us. To help us to understand, to ascertain whether is it our own thoughts and ideas when we think God is speaking to us. Is it our own thoughts and ideas? Or are there thoughts and ideas from the evil one? How do we know? Do we need to examine them? Yes. Or, which is an aspect that is very important for us to recognize, whether there is a mixture, whether is it contaminated. There may be certain elements of truth, in the sense that God may be speaking to us, but our own thoughts and ideas also come in, because we have our own personal desires. And it can then become quite distorted. Or the evil one can mix up his own thoughts and ideas so that we become confused without even realizing that we are being led astray. So how do we know? If we grow in our appreciation, understanding of the Scriptures, it can help us significantly in examining, in ascertaining whether God has indeed spoken to us. We can say one major reason why God has given us the Scriptures is to provide us with an objective basis for knowing the truth. I want to emphasize objective basis for us and for every believer to study, to examine, so that those who live their lives on the basis of what the Scriptures teaches, they can be safeguarded from going astray. And that is very important. The evil one of his major areas of attack is deception and a lot of damage to people's lives, as well as Lord's work has taken place because of deception. But how can we safeguard ourselves from deception and from going astray? You can say deception by the evil one, or going astray through because of wrong teaching, false teaching. And also recognizing the vulnerability of the human heart and mind. Our hearts and our minds easily attacked, led astray. God has given us the Scriptures so that we can be helped, safeguarded from going astray. But then you may say, the evil one can also lead believers astray through wrong interpretation of the Scriptures. And that is true. It is a very important point for us to take note of, to be alert to. But at the same time, it is helpful for us to recognize that there is much truth in the Scriptures that can be readily recognized by the careful, prayerful reader of the Scriptures as the clear teaching of the Scriptures. This is a very important point. There's much clear truth in the Scriptures, much that we can be clear about, that the Scriptures teach us, that we can recognize. But bear in mind, I mentioned the careful, prayerful reader, and there's this longing and the right approach and attitude, which I will elaborate afterwards. When there is the right attitude and approach, then God has the freedom to speak to us. We can become clear of various areas of truth in the scriptures. And when we live our lives within the framework of these clear truths and principles revealed in the scriptures, we can be kept from going astray, and they will help us from being deceived. Carefully examining and interpreting what we hear as well as what we read within the framework of these clear truths and principles can help us to discern truth from error and safeguard the prayerful believer from going astray. If we do not have the scriptures, even when we think God is speaking to us, or we hear somebody telling us something and they say God has spoken to him, how are we to know? Well, the scriptures has been given to us so that there's an objective basis and there are clear truths in the scriptures that we can understand and live out our lives. However, believers must also recognize and appreciate that together with the scriptures, there's the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us to truly understand the scriptures with spiritual insight, and we must look to the Holy Spirit to help us to understand as well as help us hear what God is saying to us. That it's not just our minds interacting with the text. Our hearts and spirit must be looking to the Lord as we read the scriptures to try to hear what God is speaking to us. The Holy Spirit can help us to discern truth from error, and the Holy Spirit can help us to apply what we have learned from the scriptures in daily life. So it's not just the text, but the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if we learn how to approach it in this way, when the two comes together, yes, the Spirit of God can help us to recognize the true teaching of the scriptures. And the text can then become unambiguous to us in various aspects of clear teaching. So we must look to the Holy Spirit who has inspired the writing of the scriptures to help us to understand as well as to absorb and apply the truth in the scriptures at a personal level and also together in church life. We can say the scriptures is a unique book, the only one of its kind for us as believers. Why do I say it's unique? It is the only book whose content and teaching we can wholeheartedly receive and absorb into our hearts and live our lives according to its teaching. Because, as we've noted, it is inspired by God, and is inspired by God for this very purpose. The authority of the scriptures rests on the authority of God. We submit to his teaching because we submit to God. So we can wholeheartedly receive the true teaching of the scriptures into our hearts and live accordingly. The only issue we need to be careful about is to ensure that we have properly interpreted, understood the scriptures and properly applied it. So sound, wholesome interpretation and application of the scriptures is extremely important. But that is the only book. This is the only book where once we are clear what it teaches, we can wholeheartedly absorb it, receive it, and live our lives accordingly. I now want to go on to consider with you what ought to be our approach to the scriptures. What ought to be our approach to the scriptures? One major aspect we need to bear in mind is that we need to consider prayerfully what God has revealed in the scriptures and then live our lives accordingly. If our posture is God in truth, if there's a hunger and thirst for God in truth. Let's look at the Lord's instructions to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We'll just look at one verse, but helpful to bear in mind the context. The context is Israel poised to enter the promised land. Moses is dead. That's what the Lord spoke to Joshua, verses 1 and 2. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan. So they're about to cross the promised land, to go over into the promised land. And verse 5, the Lord told Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. So these are very encouraging words to Joshua. But note, verse 8 is critical. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So God's assurances to Joshua is dependent on this. Then you will be prosperous, then you will have success. And what is that? Meditating on the truth that God has revealed in the scriptures, at that time is the book of the law. Day and night means continually. And then after that, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. You must understand, absorb, and live it out. Then you will have success. You will make your way prosperous, you will have success. Verse 7 says, you may have success wherever you go. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, God, we can trust God that we will have success. Success from the perspective of God's kingdom. We will live rich, fruitful lives. Not just maybe, hopefully. It is ensured. If we absorb the truth in the scriptures, live it out, we will live a successful life. And that is what, as believers, we long for. But I want to highlight a few phrases in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law, our equivalent today, is we have the whole Bible, the New Testament as well as Old Testament. Then the Lord told Joshua, meditate on it day and night. The meditate here gives a sense of a prayerful consideration, grappling with the issue, seeking to really understand. It's not just on your own. True meditation on the truths in the scriptures, it has to be together with God, looking to Him, prayerfully seeking to understand. And day and night means God is not just talking to Joshua here about your quiet time. Yes, quiet time is part of it, but is that we must be so deeply impressed with the importance of the truths that God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures, that all the time we are seeking to understand, to grapple with it, so that we can live according to its true teaching. And then after that, it must flow in that direction, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So, what I mentioned just now, consider prayerfully what God has revealed in the scriptures, to seek to understand, grapple with it, and then live your lives accordingly. This is essential. Then we will live our lives successfully as God desires of us. And this is true at a personal level. It is true also at a corporate level. Even the context of Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 and following from that throughout the Old Testament, if we read through the history of Israel, one way of appreciating what God wants us to learn. And bear in mind, Paul tells us the Old Testament, the scriptures, has been written for our instruction. We can see one major theme and area of truth that the history of Israel can teach us, that we can learn from, is that it illustrates what God is telling Joshua here. And that is, when Israel abided by these instructions of Joshua to of God to Joshua, the principle there, that they are careful to understand, to pay heed to what God has communicated in the book of the law. If they are careful to abide by it, then they will enjoy success. God's blessings will be upon them. When they depart, it always results in failure. When more serious, God's severe judgment, and it leads to their ruin. We can say this is a basic teaching of the Old Testament and the history of Israel. Likewise, at the personal level, same. And then if you look at the kings, they are always measured according to this principle. Have they sought to understand what God reveals in the law? Have they sought to obey? Or have they put it aside? Walk according to their own understanding, or walk according to false religions and Baal worship and so on. Let us now look at another verse, now in the New Testament, Paul's instructions to Timothy. And here, what I want to communicate is a point of diligence and accuracy. Just now we noted the need to prayerfully consider, understand, and then we live accordingly. This, for all this to work out well, there needs to be diligence and accuracy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." The word of truth is wider than the scriptures, but it does include the principle there. What Paul is trying to communicate to Timothy includes the way we approach the interpretation and application of the scriptures, because through the scriptures, God wants to speak to us, to teach us. So we need to approach the scriptures carefully. If we want to be approved by God, we need to be diligent. We must also be accurate in the way we handle, approach the scriptures, especially interpretation and application of the scriptures, so that we can properly understand what God wants to say to us. It applies to all areas of doctrine, but it also applies to various aspects, areas in our personal lives, as we seek to work together, when we want to understand what is it that God desires of us. Truth, we must approach it carefully. First, we need to be diligent. Second, we must be accurate if we want to be approved by God. We must set our heart to seek, to understand, to absorb, and apply what God desires to teach us and communicate to us through the scriptures. This is a theme that keeps coming through in these two messages on God and truth. And when you hear this, you can readily say that believers easily would agree with this statement. But when we agree with this statement, it has various implications. I'll now mention a few that we need to take note of. If we are seeking to understand, absorb, apply what God wants to teach us through the scriptures, then this means when we read the scriptures, we must be careful not to superimpose our own ideas and inclinations in the way we understand the text. And this does occur. It is not uncommon. Our own ideas, when we read, we are superimposing our own ideas and our own inclinations in the way we interpret the scriptures. It also means we must not look for texts in the scriptures to support our own ideas. We have certain ideas, even though it may sound very good, it may sound very right, and then we start looking into the Bible for texts to support our ideas. We must also be careful not to allow our own ideas and inclinations to influence and to contaminate accurate understanding of the scriptures. In other words, what I'm trying to put across here is, right from the very outset, the way we approach the scriptures is to try to understand what actually God wants to communicate, not starting off with our own ideas, no matter how reasonable and noble they may appear or may seem to us. That we really want to understand what the scriptures teaches and not contaminated, tainted by our own ideas, inclinations, or also not to allow influences from other sources to distort our understanding of the truth revealed. We must exercise care in all these various aspects, because we can be easily adversely affected in our understanding of the scriptures in these different ways without even being conscious of it. That is, what I want to emphasize is there's a need to deliberately look to God to free us from all preconceived notions, personal biases and inclinations, as well as the views, opinions of men and the ways and ideas of the world, and anything else that may hinder us from a true, accurate, wholesome understanding of the Scriptures and what God desires to say to us. As a sincere desire, we really want to hear, to understand what God wants to communicate to us. And I want to emphasize, this is the personal responsibility of every believer. All of us, as God's children, we have this responsibility. That is, we must seek to ensure that what we actually receive into our hearts is indeed the true teaching of the Scriptures, untainted in any way. That does not mean we cannot benefit from the understanding of other people. We can only benefit from reading the Scriptures for ourselves. No. We can, and God does want us to learn and benefit from the understanding of others. This is very clear in the Scriptures. Because God wants us to learn from one another, and also from the teaching and from the preaching and teaching of those whom God has raised up and equipped to fulfill their role for the well-being and growth of God's people, whether in the local church and in the wider context, you can say for the universal church. And these people whom God has raised up and equipped, they are God's gifts to the church. But even these people, they are fallible. And this way, as I go on, there are various aspects that are important for us to take note of in our approach to the Scriptures as well as what we hear, even the preaching and teaching of those who love the Lord, whom we can recognize as true servants of the Lord. How we should approach this area, it is very important. Yes, we can learn, and we must be humble to learn and benefit from the understanding of other people, from others who love the Lord. But we must make sure that our reliance and our faith rests on the truth God has revealed in the Scriptures and not the views and understanding of men, whoever he or she or they may be, and whatever their standing, status, and this includes those who love the Lord. We cannot place our reliance on men in the absolute sense. We can only place our reliance and faith on the truth God has revealed in the Scriptures, because it is inspired by God. It is absolutely reliable. Yes, we can learn, we can benefit from the understanding of others, but it's to the degree they help us understand the true teaching of the Scriptures. But we must be satisfied for ourselves that it is indeed truth revealed in the Scriptures that God wants to communicate to us and teach us. So for this area to work out well, there are two important aspects that need to work out well. One is the one who is communicating. Secondly, is the one who is hearing or receiving. Let us now consider briefly the important area of preaching and teaching. Is it important? Yes. First, consider the first area, the preacher and teacher. The preacher and teacher has a very heavy responsibility to preach and teach the truth. He's not there to communicate his own ideas, but he's there, his responsibility to teach and preach the truth that God wants to reveal, to teach his children. What does that mean? It means for the preacher and teacher to fulfill his responsibility well, he must, first of all, in his own life, be earnest in seeking to have a sound, accurate, wholesome understanding of the Scriptures. That is crucial. Then his own personal hunger for God and truth, and for the meaning and the rich, and as well as the meaning and richness of his personal walk with God, will have a significant bearing on the effectiveness of his ministry of the word. When there's hunger for God and truth, and he takes care to nurture his own personal walk with the Lord, how rich, how meaningful in his walk with the Lord, all this will have a bearing on how he understands the scriptures as well as how he communicates and transmits the truth. Then the next point is that he must exercise care that what he preaches and teaches is accurate and wholesome. All these various points to elaborate will take time, but here I want to emphasize various aspects that are important for us to take note of. So he may understand the truth, but if he doesn't exercise care, then what he communicates may not be wholesome, and the hearer may not receive what is wholesome. So he must exercise care that what he preaches, what he teaches is accurate and wholesome, and if it's not so clear, then he must not put across as something very clear. Not only that, he must also support, or I say he ought to support, his understanding of the truth from the scriptures and show how he derives his understanding of truth from the scriptures. That is, how he has arrived at this truth that he's communicating. He's trying to tell you that this is what God is saying, what God is teaching, or what the scriptures teaches. But does he show? It is important, very important, that he shows how he derives his understanding of the truth from the scriptures. Why is this very important? This is very important because the true source of the authority of what he says and preaches must be God and what God has revealed in the scriptures, not from himself. He doesn't have that authority, the ultimate authority. So when he shows from the scriptures, then he is telling you the true authority is the scriptures, God, what God is saying, not what I am saying. So when I can show you that this is what the scriptures teaches and you're satisfied when you receive it, then your faith rests on what God has spoken, what God wants to teach us, not what the preacher or teacher is saying. And also, this will enable the hearer or the reader, this can be in book form, literature form, it can be a message. So whether the hearer or reader, when it is properly shown how it is derived, then the hearer or reader can then satisfy himself that what he is hearing is indeed the teaching of the scriptures and not merely the assertions of men. That means not only he says he quotes from the Bible, some do not even quote, but quoting the scriptures is not sufficient. You must show how you arrive at it, but not only that, you must show it in such a way that the hearer or the reader is able to satisfy himself if he makes effort, he looks at the scriptures, he tries to ascertain whether what you are saying is indeed from the scriptures. It must be feasible for him to do so. That is, it's not a very strange way by which you arrive at it, where the hearer, reader look at it, it doesn't follow, it doesn't flow from the scriptures. It's your own understanding in a very strange way of interpreting the Bible. When this is properly done, that is, we are now talking about the role of the preacher, teacher, then the hearer will be helped to grow in his knowledge of the truth and what God desires to teach us from the scriptures. And the hearer will have the proper basis for absorbing the truth into his heart. And this is important. Believers need to be helped to recognize where is the proper basis of absorbing the truth. That it is from God, it is the true teaching of the scriptures, not the views and opinions of men. So when this is properly done, the hearer, the believer, has the proper basis to absorb the truth into his heart and to recognize that he's responding to God and what God is saying. Not only that, when it is properly done, it will also help the believer, the hearer, to know how to interpret the scriptures and how to derive truth from the scriptures for himself. And this is an area that's important for all believers. And many believers have difficulty knowing how
to interpret and derive truths from the scriptures. But if the preacher, the teacher does this properly, then the hearer, the reader can be helped to learn how to interpret the scriptures for himself. We now come to the second major, very important aspect, area, and that is the hearer. Who is the good hearer? The good hearer, first of all, must be one who hungers and thirsts for God and truth. If that is not present, then you cannot be a good hearer. And this is what I'm covering in these two messages and including what has been substantially covered in the preceding message. The good hearer is one who is eager to learn, he wants to deepen his knowledge of God and the truth, and not just to deepen his understanding, his knowledge, so that he can follow it up in his brain, but he is eager to learn, he wants to understand because he wants to absorb it into his heart. So when he recognizes, he will absorb it into his heart. And the good hearer will exercise care to ascertain whether what he hears is indeed the teaching of the scriptures. It doesn't mean you're a good hearer if whatever you hear, you absorb it. Because you may then absorb a lot of things that are not sound, not wholesome. So that is his responsibility. He will exercise care to ascertain whether what he hears is indeed the true teaching of the scriptures. And then when he recognizes that what he has heard is indeed truth, as revealed in the scriptures, he will gladly receive and absorb the truth into his heart. This means the good hearer will exercise care not to receive or be adversely influenced by anything that is unsound, unwholesome, or absorb any wrong teaching into his heart. We know the consequences can be very devastating. It also means that when the believer is not sure whether what he has heard or read is wholesome and accurate, he will not immediately receive it into his heart. But he will wait until he is clear it is truth before he does so. Yes, he doesn't dismiss it, but he's not sure, but he will not just receive it into his heart, but he will wait. And with passing time, it may become clearer. And I will go on now to help us to see why is it with passing time, various areas of truth can become much clearer to us that it is indeed truth or it is not. It is important to take note. To be able to do this well, the hearer or the reader or the believer, he must read and seek to understand the scriptures for himself. He cannot just rely on what people have written or what people are saying or preaching. He must seek to read and understand the scriptures for himself to the degree this is feasible in his context. For example, you may have the scriptures, then it can't be helped. You do not have it. But when you have it, the other you may say, I'm not so able as some other people. Can they read? They can understand so easily, so quickly, and they can understand so much. I can't. No, to the degree that is feasible for you in your context, the degree that you can as you look to the Lord. And the Lord will help us. The scriptures are meant for God's children, not just for preachers and teachers. So he will seek to have a healthy familiarity with the whole Bible, so that he can then examine and see whether what he hears and reads is consistent with the teaching of the scriptures. I mentioned healthy familiarity. Just read, but it's an unhealthy familiarity. You think you know a lot, but actually you are not really understanding properly with the right attitude of heart and spirit that God has the freedom to help us to recognize the truth in the scriptures. So we need to seek to have a healthy familiarity, not just with certain favorite passages or books of the Bible, but with the whole Bible. And then that will enable you to examine and see whether what you hear and read is consistent with the teaching of the scriptures. That is, where verses and passages are referred to, you'll then be able to examine whether these verses and passages have been properly interpreted and applied, or they are taken out of context and do not actually support the point made. Or when a verse is quoted, when he's familiar with the scriptures, he can then prayerfully reflect on it, whether there are other passages in the scriptures that throw more light on the issue, that helps you to see that what has been asserted is actually not very wholesome. The scriptures has more to say on the subject, and what has been asserted is not wholesome. To have such a healthy familiarity of the whole Bible is very important, and this means it is needful to read through the whole Bible regularly, again and again. Prayerfully reading a reasonable number of chapters each day, say 5 to 8 chapters from both the Old Testament and New Testament, is important. There are many chapters in the Bible, and if you read just 1 chapter or 2 chapters a day, how long will you need to read through the whole Bible? How can you become healthily familiar with the Bible? There are those who say, when you read the Bible, you want to understand, you want to hear what God says to you, you must meditate. And when they meditate at the end of it, for that day, they've hardly read even 1 chapter. Is that healthy? Is that desirable? I want to emphasize, from all that I can understand, and I explain why I say this, that is clearly inadequate and not a helpful way of reading the scriptures. But you may say, 5 to 8 chapters a day is a lot. How to read so many chapters a day? I don't have the time. It actually does not take much time to read 5 to 8 chapters a day when you read them at a reasonable speed. You don't have to read very slowly. You can read at a reasonable speed so long as you can understand what you're reading. And here I'm not saying you can understand everything. There are difficult passages you don't understand. That is all right. I'll make a brief comment on that afterwards, that we should not get bogged down by such passages. But as you read, that means you shouldn't be reading so fast that you don't know what you're reading. I've covered so many chapters, but you don't know what you're reading. You read, you understand what you're reading. Pondering over the truths, there's a place, yes, they can take place after you've read the chapters. That is, if you have the time. But sometimes you don't have the time, it's okay. Or, at that reading, you have the time, you do that. If not, you can do it at other times of the day or on other occasions. But as you read the scriptures in this way, there are various aspects of truth that are clear, that you can understand and absorb. Substantial reading of the scriptures in this way helps you to understand the truth in the scriptures in a wholesome way for yourself. Otherwise, when you read and you start to ponder a verse or a passage, it can easily result in unwholesome understanding. In times past, I've illustrated the subject of answer to prayer. You read, the Lord Jesus, he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And you keep pondering, and how to absorb, how to reply this. Easily, it will be an unwholesome understanding of the subject of answer to prayer. But when you read through again and again, not just for yourself, later if you hear other people assert this, whatever you ask in prayer, you shall receive. You know that it's not wholesome. Because other passages in the scriptures tells us, James tells us, we can ask with wrong motives. And we read the prayer of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 17. We know the Lord Jesus prayed for the unity of believers, and yet, unity amongst believers is a major problem. What does it mean? Well, we've considered the subject in detail in other messages. So substantial reading of the scriptures in this way, reading through the whole Bible again and again this way, is very important. It is also helpful as spiritual food and nourishment for your soul. That is, if you read it with the right spirit and attitude, which I've been mentioning in these two messages, the various aspects of it. As we seek to read the Bible in this way, I just want to briefly comment a few other points. One is that we should not get bogged down by difficult passages we find difficult to understand. We get stuck, then we cannot carry on. No, if they're very difficult to understand, it's all right, carry on. There are many things in the Bible that are not easy to understand. But after you've covered the chapters. Other times you want to study, you look further into various subjects, passages, you can do that. There's a place for that if you think that passage is important to understand further. But even then, sometimes even when you spend time, you try to understand, you still find it difficult. Don't get bogged down by it. As you read through the scriptures again and again this way over the years, more and more you will find various major areas of truth becoming clearer and clearer. And even areas that in the past you don't quite understand, with passing time, you begin to understand more and more. The other is not to be deterred. When you read the scriptures, and at times, sometimes it's a day, sometimes it can be for a period, it seems rather dry. As you read, it doesn't seem to come alive to you. Do not be deterred by that. Continue to read. So long as you ensure your attitude is right, then you read in faith, you look to the Lord, and you can trust that if your attitudes are good, you're seeking to learn, to hear from the Lord, to understand, to absorb, then you can properly read the scriptures in faith. That means it may feel as if it is dry. There's only a feeling. If we come to God with the right attitude and we read the scriptures looking to God in this way, will not God teach us, minister to us in our spirit? Yes, God will. And if you persevere in this way in faith, that is a proper place to exercise faith, because God wants us to read the scriptures faithfully and look to Him in this way. When we do that, you'll notice that if two persons, one, whenever he finds difficulty reading the Bible, he feels dry, he just leave it alone, and that can easily stretch over a period of time. What will happen to his faith? He'll become very unstable. Another one who perseveres, so long as he maintains the right attitude, you'll find that with passing time, he grows and he's stable. So it's important to read the Bible with a sincere longing of various aspects. One is a sincere longing to know, to absorb the truth. That's important. And there's a longing to hear what God is saying, what God wants to teach us. Together with that, when we read the scriptures, it's not just trying to understand various concepts. It's a longing also to deepen our knowledge of God, to deepen our relationship with Him. The scriptures is given to us for that purpose. There's also a longing to walk in truth. We want to know the truth, we want to walk in it. We want to live a life that honors and glorifies God. When we read the scriptures, it's with this attitude of heart. We want to fulfill God's will for our lives. That's why we want to understand the scriptures, because it reveals to us the ways of God, what God requires of men, God's purposes, how He wants us to participate. We should also pay heed to the words of the Lord Jesus to the Sadducees. By the way, the Sadducees, the Lord Jesus makes clear to us that in the scriptures tells us that the Sadducees, they do have wrong understanding, wrong views of important doctrines, including this point that they do not believe in the resurrection, which is of course a very important doctrine. And in Mark chapter 12, verse 24, the Lord Jesus told them, "Is this not the reason you are mistaken, that you do not understand the scriptures or the power of God?" Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Is this not the reason you are mistaken? They were wrong. Why were they wrong? And it has a lot of implications when it comes to important doctrines. The Lord Jesus, is this not the reason? And what is that? That you do not understand, or in the margin in the American Standard Bible, or no, you do not understand, you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. And these two aspects are extremely important. One is the personal knowledge of God. When there's no personal relationship with God, you cannot properly understand the scriptures. And you read the scriptures, the reality of God in your life is important. The other is a true understanding of the Bible. If you want to live lives in a meaningful way, we do not want to be wrong in major important issues, we must properly understand, know the scriptures. Understand, know the scriptures and the power of God. These two aspects are extremely important. If we approach the scriptures in the way described in these two messages on hunger and thirst for God and truth, that is the preceding message in today's message, you will find that as you read the scriptures, with passing time, your heart and your spirit will more and more be in line with the exhortations and teachings of the scriptures. Not just recognizing what the scriptures teach us, but your heart and your spirit will become more and more in line with the exhortation, the teachings of the scriptures, the thrust, the spirit, the meaning of it. Because it's not just a mental reading. Your heart and spirit is going together with it. And more you'll be able to appreciate what God is seeking to teach us through the scriptures. The major truths and principles will become increasingly clear as the years pass by. It doesn't mean the first reading you understand everything. But even the first reading with the right attitude, there are major truths that can be understood and received. By passing time, more and more, the truths, the principles will become increasingly clear. And you'll be able to appreciate also the big picture, because you'll be reading through the Bible again and again. The big picture, as well as specific issues and principles in a wholesome way. It becomes more and more clear and wholesome. And you will find that the meaning, the truth will just open up to you in a way that is difficult for you to appreciate and see them in that way if you do not approach the scriptures properly. And in times past, there's serious violation in our approach to the scriptures. Then you will find that as you adopt the proper approach, you'll find that the scriptures now open up to you in a way that you do not appreciate in times past. Even if in the past you have some appreciation, but the insight, the meaning will be different. There's a freshness, the depth, the meaningfulness of it, together with a deep sense of fellowship with the Lord in your daily lives, as well as increasing identification with what is in the heart of God. And I want to conclude our consideration of these two messages on hunger and thirst for God by referring to a short passage which paints a beautiful picture which can help us remember some important aspects of what we have considered in these two messages on hunger and thirst for God and truth. And that is the passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 42. We have looked at this passage more carefully in more detail in other messages, but now I want to highlight some aspects. Verse 38. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You notice verse 38, Martha welcomed the Lord Jesus. And many believers are like Martha. We welcome the Lord Jesus into our lives, but we are distracted, worried, and bothered about many things. And this can include legitimate things. What Martha was doing there was something legitimate. She was trying to prepare and serve the Lord. If you look at the New American Standard Bible, the margin there, distracted with all her preparations in verse 40, is much service. Distracted with much service. She was trying to serve. It's legitimate. Her attitudes are not negative. But still, she was distracted, worried, bothered in a way she ought not. And clearly the words of the Lord Jesus to her indicates that she must change. What can we learn from the words of commendation of the Lord Jesus in regards to Mary? One major principle, area of truth, is know our priorities. And what is appropriate to concentrate on in different contexts. So there's a time and place for doing what Martha was doing. It's not wrong what she was doing. I once heard someone expounding on this passage and what we can learn from this passage, and this comment was made that The Church of God needs both martyrs and Marys. We need people like Martha, bearing, serving, but then there are people who sit at the feet of Lord Jesus. We can't have all just sitting at the feet of Lord Jesus. There also need to have those who are preparing, serving. Now, if we look, read through this passage carefully, then we can say, you can see that that command is not valid. Because the teaching here that's intended for us, and the words of Lord Jesus is telling us that it's not that Mary need not do the serving. It's only for people like Martha. And it's only, there are people like Mary who are to sit at the feet of Lord Jesus. No, there's a right place to do the serving, and there's a place for Martha to also to sit at the feet of Lord Jesus. And there are some Christians who think they are spiritual. Why? Because when it comes to other physical things and so on, they will stay far away from it. They just want to concentrate on the spiritual. Talk about spiritual things, read the Bible, can. But other things, they won't. They say that's not spiritual. That's not for them. Sometimes they won't say it, but in their hearts, they approach it like that. We should know our priorities, yes, but also there's a time and place for doing what Martha was doing. But in particular, the emphasis here is the Lord wants us to learn from Mary. Let us learn from the positive example of Mary. And what's the main thing that comes through? The picture here that is beautiful. She was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. The picture here communicates to us a believer who deeply appreciates the Lord and is eager to hear what he has to say. And that was the right thing, a proper thing to do at that point in time. And it gives a picture of someone who's paying attention to what the Lord has to say with a receptive heart. And as she does that, it will help her to further nurture her relationship with the Lord. Mary already has a positive, meaningful relationship with the Lord. But she does that, it will further nurture her relationship with the Lord and also her knowledge of the Lord. And learn from the Lord's teaching. Learn what is in the heart of the Lord. Learn what is important to him. Learn to identify with him. Learn to deepen in understanding and knowledge of the truth, because the Lord is speaking words of truth. So learn to have a heart like Mary's at all times, including, as you can say, especially when we are reading the Bible, listening, seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus, we read, trying to hear what he has to teach us, say to us, as well as wanting to learn more about the Lord and to deepen our relationship with him, our knowledge of him. John chapter 12 tells us Mary was also the one who broke the alabaster vial and poured the costly perfume on the Lord Jesus. And that I've covered in two messages on the woman who broke the alabaster vial when I was covering with you appearance and reality and contribution to God's kingdom and service. That here is a manifestation of sincere, deep love and devotion to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 13, which is likely to be a record of the same episode, we see the disciples were indignant and happy with her for what she had done, because they considered it a waste of the costly perfume, which could be sold for a high price, and the money given to the poor. However, the Lord Jesus disagreed with them and highly commended Mary for what she had done. Matthew chapter 26, verses 10 to 13, the Lord Jesus told them, that is, those who are unhappy with her, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." Very high commendation. Ultimately, is it the pouring of the costly perfume in itself? No. You can pour costly perfume and it may not be of any value. But it was the appropriate thing at the appropriate time and an expression of deep devotion to the Lord. May we learn to be like Mary, to have a sincere, deep love and devotion to the Lord, to pay attention to what the Lord has to say with a receptive heart at all times, and also to know our priorities and what is appropriate to concentrate on and what to do in different contexts, because we are prayerful and discerning. So at that point in time, pouring the perfume on the Lord Jesus was a very beautiful expression of devotion to the Lord and preparing him for burial. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of Lord's Supper, reflect on our own walk with the Lord. Are we eager to know him, deepen our relationship with him, to hear what he has to say? Do we appreciate the scriptures that God has given to us? Or do we only profess that the scriptures is very important, we are thankful, but do we pay sufficient attention to the scriptures? Do we approach the scriptures in the way that God desires of us? Do we read the scriptures with a hunger for God and for truth to understand the meaning, what God intends to communicate to us, to teach us? Are we careful to interpret the scriptures accurately so that we do not receive into our hearts what is unwholesome or what is tainted either by our own ideas, inclinations, or what we have heard, and be influenced by sources other than scriptures that is not sound and wholesome? When we hear what is being preached and communicated by others, do we exercise care to ascertain whether what we hear is indeed the teaching of the scriptures consistent with the principles and truths that God has revealed to us? Let us spend some time to reflect over our lives, and if we come to recognize that we need to pay more attention to the scriptures, the way we read, the way we receive, the way we absorb and apply, let us affirm in our hearts to the Lord our commitment to do what he desires of us and ask him to strengthen us to carry out what he desires of us. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for creating us in your image so that it's feasible for us to know with you, to relate with you, to understand your ways, and to walk with you each day. Thank you for your high calling. Thank you for every provision, for every need, and especially your provisions for us so that we can live a life truly pleasing to you and bearing good fruit in every good work. We thank you for the scriptures, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us into the truth. We thank you for church life, that we can learn and grow together with the brethren. And we thank you for all men and women of God whom you have raised up, who have insight into the truth, from whom we can learn. We ask that you will help us to walk with you each day in humility, with a sincere desire to grow in our knowledge of you and what you desire to communicate to us. That we may be diligent, that we may be careful in the way we approach the scriptures, so that we will have an accurate, wholesome understanding for ourselves, and also when we hear and read what is communicated by others, that we may be careful to ascertain the truth, the accuracy of what we hear and read, so that we will not be led astray or receive into our hearts what is corrupted, tainted. Father, we thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine, And we ask that you will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, and help us also to be more resolute in carrying out, working out what you impress on our hearts, especially regards to our approach to the scriptures and what it means to hunger and thirst after God and the truth that you've revealed. We pray and give you thanks and entrust our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen.